All right, let's go ahead and get our Bibles out tonight. And I'll go ahead and just let you remain seated. You know where we're going back to, so go ahead and get your Bibles out and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll be looking at verse number 3 tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 3. Again, we're going to continue our series that we are in right now on Sunday mornings and Sunday night, entitled The Church in the Last Days. And tonight, we are going to see that the closer we get to the return of Christ, the more that you and I are going to be dealing with fierce people. And these people are fierce that are outside of the church, but it's also going to be within the church. Now, if I describe someone as being fierce, what do I mean by that? If I say that somebody is fierce, I am saying that a person is a ferocious person, a forceful person, an aggressively angry person. As a matter of fact, that word that we have here in the Bible, fierce, comes from a word that describes a ferocious, wild animal. So I want you to notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3, when the Bible tells us, we're familiar with this, we keep going over it Sunday morning and Sunday night, been in this a while, but the Bible says that we know, you need to know it, that in the last days, perilous times are going to come. And we went through that description, and now we find ourselves in verse number 3, where the Bible says that these people, and listen to me now, listen very carefully, don't mistake this passage. This passage is not talking necessarily about people outside the church. That's where people miss it. You're going to have this inside the church. This is not just talking about lost people. This is talking about saved people. That the closer you get to the return of Christ, people are going to be fierce. Do you see that? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 3. Yes. Fierce. They're going to be fierce. And God help us to see that tonight and look at what the Bible says about that. And we want to make sure that we, as Christians, cannot be described as fierce people. And when people come into our church, they may get the truth and they may get it unapologetically. But we don't want to come across as fierce and as aggressive. And we're going to see from the Bible here tonight that there's two words that always go along when you look up that word fierce. I looked up every instance of that word fierce or a form of that word fierce shows up in your Bible. And there's two words that are commonly mentioned with that word fierce in your King James Bible. It's the word anger and the word wrath. Anger and wrath that's not dealt with leads to a fierce person or a fierce society. So let's bow our head and close our eyes and let's get ready to pray as I preach to you about beastly brethren tonight. Beastly brethren, ferocious like a lion. Brother Tyler, would you pray for this tonight? We'll get started. Please, help us tonight. Yes. 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 Amen. Amen. Now, you know the law of first mention in the Bible. If you want to figure out what a word means and you look at the first time it's mentioned in the Bible to give you some understanding of how it's further going to be used in the Bible. The first time that the word fierce is mentioned in the Bible is Genesis 49:7. Genesis 49:7. The Bible says, "Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel." So what he's talking about here, this is Simeon and Levi's anger that he's talking about as they responded to the rape of their sister. And he said, because of their anger, because of their wrath, they were fierce in the way they behaved, slaying those innocent men. It is mentioned as a first result of the word fear, of fierce, how fear, being fierce is described. All right, when you look at the word and how it's used in other places in the Bible, you can see how it is many times used in the context of a behavior that is manifested from somebody that has ungodly anger and wrath. Now listen, all anger is not ungodly. With this sissified Christianity we get where nobody can get angry or upset about nothing, that is totally unbiblical. The Bible says that Christ looked on them with anger. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't let it go down on your wrath. There's times you should be angry, and there's times that the body of Christ is not angry, and you should be. There is a time to be angry. All anger is not unrighteous, but we're talking about unrighteous anger here tonight. That when it's not dealt with in your heart, it leads to wrath, and you act in a fierce way like a beast. You just lose control. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. But I want you to notice the context of the way this word is used. First of all, it talks about a nation being a fierce nation. Deuteronomy 28:50, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old nor show favor to the young. It's talking about a nation that God sends in to judge a nation that's not doing right. And it talks about a nation of a fierce countenance. And I'm going to tell you here tonight, we have a very fierce nation. I'm not talking about how we deal with our enemies. I'm talking about what goes on inside our country. And I'm going to deal with that here in a moment. But we live in a very angry, wrathful, fierce nation. All right, you see that word used as it relates to a king. Isaiah 19:4. And the Egyptians will I give over into the hand of a cruel lord, and a fierce king shall rule over them, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, talking about that Egyptian king there, but he's also, if you look at that prophetically, he's talking about the Antichrist there. And the Antichrist is absolutely going to be a ferocious, fierce king as he deals with the Jews. So you can have a fierce nation, and you can have a fierce leader of those nations. If you study back in history, and some of you study back in history about, Ivan the Terrible and Henry the Sixth and some of those kings like that, there were some ferocious kings that were just horrible people, just did not mind shedding blood. So you can have a fierce nation. You can have a fierce king or a leader. The Bible talks about fierce words. Fierce words, 2 Samuel 19:43. And the men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, we have 10 parts in the kingdom, and we also have more right in David than ye. Why then did ye despise us, that our advice should not be first had in bringing back our king? And the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel. You can have some fierce words. Any of you in here guilty of that? You get mad and you fly off the handle and you run your mouth and you say things that God, you know God don't want you to say. You know it hurts people. Let me tell you men something. You men, you need to learn something from me today. I hope you can learn something. Women don't deal with conflict like men do. How many of you know that? Listen to me. We as men can work together and be out there together, and I've been on the job site, and I'm not saying it's right or whatever. I'm just going to tell you how men are. We get out there and some words be said, and people get angry, and maybe somebody actually cusses somebody, or maybe a lick is passed. And then in 15 or 20 minutes, it's over, and y'all won't go to eat together. Men can just get it out. Listen, when you go home and you talk to your wife like that and raise your voice and scream and holler at that, and then 15 minutes later you cool down, you wonder why she's still upset. Why is she so cold? Because you've acted like an idiot. That's why she's so cold. You can't deal with her like you deal with a man. We do things differently. You can't holler and scream and fuss and carry on and expect her to just forget it and say, well, why are you still upset? I told you I was sorry. They don't forget that mess. Now, I just gave you $10,000 worth of marriage counseling for free there. It really would help you if you get a hold of that. But do you know what I find in my Bible when I look up the word fierce? Do you know when I ran all the references of the word fierce in the Bible, do you know who it said was the most times in the Bible by far when it's talking about somebody being fierce? Can anybody in here guess? It was God. I had more references of God being fierce. But here's the difference. God's anger is always, listen to me, God's anger is always controlled. God's anger is always righteous. Along with God's anger always being unstoppable. But he's always in control and he's always righteous. I had a fellow one time, he said, I taught that you ought not whip your kids when you're mad. I still believe that and I still teach it. I don't think you ought to whip your, there was a time or two when my son would make me so mad, Brother Sonny, that I'd send Darby in there to whip him. Now, I know that ain't fair, but I wasn't going to just beat on him because I'm mad. I'd calm down. Listen, it's really hard to whip your youngin' when you've calmed down and you ain't mad no more. But I heard of this fellow. He's a popular Bible-believing evangelist, and he's gone now. He's with the Lord. He said something one time. He said, "What do you mean you're not whipping when you're mad? God whips us when he's mad. I whip my youngest when I'm mad." I'm thinking, you fool. God never has any temptation to get out of control, and you do. God's got perfect anger. You don't. God's never going to go too much. You can. That's why I don't think you ought to whip your youngins when you're mad. You're just welling on them because you're mad what they did to you or against you. When you calm down, then you whip them for the right reason, to help them. You understand what I'm saying? But God is fierce, but he's fierce in the right way. But you know what the problem is? We as humans, especially in this country, we are fierce in the wrong way. We have unrighteous anger. We act like somebody that's out of control, like an out of control beast, ferocious, just waiting to jump on somebody, waiting to argue with somebody, waiting to get mad and full of wrath and jump on somebody. And that is not the way God would have his children to be. That's the way of the world. That's the way of lost people. That shouldn't be the way God's people act. Ever. Ever. Now listen to me here tonight. We live in a world full of angry people. Amen? We live in a world full of angry people. And that anger eventually turns to wrath. That is why people are so fierce in our society. Anger management classes are a big deal in America today. You know that? They send you to anger management classes. You need to go take a class to learn how to manage your anger. Know if you get filled with the Holy Spirit, that'll help you. Amen? Get saved and then get filled with the Holy Spirit, that'll help you manage your anger. People just fly off into a rage about nothing. People just fly off into a rage about nothing. Now listen, I'm going to make this very practical and personal here tonight, but if I'm talking to you, if I'm talking to an angry man here tonight or an angry woman here tonight and you cause your family to walk on eggshells and your friends and everybody and they never know when you come up what personality they're going to see and they're afraid of you because they think you're going to blow up on them, you need to get that under control. You need to come to Christ with it. You're hurting your family. You're killing your marriage. You're killing your Christian testimony. God doesn't want us to be Christians that walk up, and when we walk up, everybody's like, "Oh no, what's he going to be mad about today? What's he going to jump on us about today?" You never know how he's going to take it. Do you know people like that? Well, if you don't, maybe you're the one. They just fly off into a rage. But listen, I believe COVID-19 has helped amp that up too. That's made everybody just more. How many of you ever saw that that VeggieTales cartoon, Grapes of Wrath? Anybody ever seen them? You saw them? We are the grapes of wrath, so stay out of our path. You know, Paul Grape, nobody in here watches VeggieTales? You know, did you see that one, Haley? That was good. Grapes of Wrath. And Paul Grape goes, "I'm so angry." You remember that, don't you? There's a lot of, some of you are like, "What's VeggieTales?" Man, if you missed out on VeggieTales, you missed life, man. That's all I can tell you. Listen, some of you like Paul Grape. You just, "I'm so angry." You're the grapes of wrath. Paul was a grape in this story. Let's go on. No. Just That's how some people are. And the COVID-19 just helped to get everybody all upset and stirred up because of what's going on. Listen, we live in a country now that's not too far removed from 2,000 years ago when they packed out the Roman Colosseum to see men fight to death or Christians being eaten alive by lions. You say, oh, how can you compare America to something like that? Well, you watch it on your TV. How many deaths and gruesome murders and horror shows and all that stuff you watch on your TV? And you wonder, well, I'm a little bit on edge today. I'm a little bit more mad than usual. Yeah, you sit at the house last night and watch a fella sneak through a town and kill about 30 people. What do you expect? You act like that stuff don't affect you. Now we have Antifa in our country who in anger burn down cities and beat and murder innocent people because they're fierce. People they don't know. And it's people they've never met. They don't know if they like them or not. They just burn it down indiscriminately. Murdering people. Listen, people kill one another in road rage. You know, in our country, there's been several instances where somebody would get cut off accidentally or maybe on purpose. I don't know. And they chase them down and pull them over and get out of the car and shoot them to death because just because they cut them off in traffic. Some of you say, I can't believe it, that how anybody could do that. Why are you cussing and fussing coming to church tonight when somebody cuts you off? Amen. Now, this happened years ago. You remember when we were going back to Pennsylvania or coming back from Pennsylvania when we went to see your kinfolk and we accidentally cut a fella off and he had a New York tag. That explains a lot of it. We accidentally cut a fella off and he followed us for about 10 or 15 miles and he'd pull up beside us and had like a whole bowie knife or something. He'd show it in there in the windshield and do that. He was so mad with us. This was in the 90s, man, showing us that knife. And we were trying to just keep on going down the road. We were looking at the gas case thinking, man, we're going to have to get gas here pretty soon. And I ain't got a pistol. I ain't got nothing. He's got that knife just doing that. And finally, he just went on. I reckon he calmed down. Accidentally pulled in front of the fella. He's going to follow us for 10 or 15 miles on the interstate, brandishing a knife in the mirror. That's the country we live in. Fierce people. And then you have domestic violence in this country that's horrible. The spousal and child abuse that goes on in this country. We make fun of it because we say a fella's got on a wife beater. You know what a wife beater is? It's that sleeveless t-shirt. How many of you know what a wife beater is? You call it that old sleeveless t-shirt. Now it's funny. We say, hey, man, he's wearing a wife beater. Ha, ha, ha. But it ain't funny. You know why it ain't funny? Because that show Cops come on all them years. And it showed you that every time you wound up at a domestic violence of somebody, some man was beating his wife, he had on one of them kind of shirts. So they call them wife beaters. That's terrible, ain't it? Oh, yeah, that's a wife beater because that's what men usually wear when they're beating their wives. And listen, it's going to get awfully uncomfortable in here before we're finished here tonight. You don't fool me. Your smiling faces, your suits and ties, knock it off. Knock it off. Go try to con somebody else. You're not going to con me. I done been in it too long, brother. I absolutely could be preaching to a wife beater here tonight. I absolutely could be preaching to somebody that beats your youngins in rage. I absolutely could be preaching to somebody here tonight that your poor wife just stays in a nervous wreck because she never knows how you're going to react. Come in fierce and angry at the world and take it out on her. God help you. God help you that you're just walking around all the time just boiling. And you react in a fierce way. Don't get uncomfortable with me. I always was told that if you throw a rock in a pack of dogs, the one that's hit is the one that hollers. This ain't my first rodeo. Now, I'm talking to an angry person here tonight. When you find someone stabbed to death and there's 51 puncture wounds in them, like happens all over this country all the time, that's not somebody staving off an attacker. That's not somebody protecting himself. That's somebody in rage, fierce rage, to just keep on and keep on and keep on stabbing himself. You say, why, Brother Dennis, would you keep on saying stuff like that, preaching to us like that? Because you know where that stuff starts? You know where it starts? Way back yonder, before it gets where you stab somebody 51 times. It's wrath and anger, wrath and anger, wrath and anger that's never dealt with till you just blow up one day. I've seen it. Not just out in the world. Christian families. And now in our country we have teenagers filming other teenagers who sneak up behind someone and punch them out from behind. They film it with their little cameras on their cells, their stupid phones, not smartphones. I told you about that this morning. It's a big thing to sneak up and feel somebody and go, when they sneak up behind them and sucker punch them and knock them out, and then everybody's running around like a bunch of idiots. Ooh, did you see what he did? Yeah, man, he knocked them out. I wish somebody would come on the scene and get every one of them teenagers and just put them down there in the asphalt and rub their nose in it. That's exactly what they deserve. Going to jump behind somebody and sucker punch them and think you've done something and then put it all over YouTube and Facebook and everywhere else and brag about it. Fierce, fierce, fierce. That's in this country. Or you have a group of teenagers that jumps on one person and beats them half to death. It happens all the time in this country and in the schools. Do you realize in our black market or now what that we would call the dark web, it probably generates billions of dollars a year selling videotapes and images of people being mutilated and tortured in this country. Fierce! Like animals. Like wild animals. That's the country we live in. God bless America. No, he ain't. He has blessed it. But you think God's going to bless that? You can sing that song all you want to. You better be singing, God judge America. I know you don't like that. It's still true. Still true. Small children. Now. Murdering, not even teenagers, they do it, but small children, sometimes 5, 6, and 7 years old, murdering other children or murdering their parents. That happens in this country, folks. Bullied teenagers just finally get enough and they get full of wrath and anger because of parents don't raise their kids right, and the teachers are stupid and turn a blind eye or whatever, but some poor old kid, because he's an outcast, he gets bullied and bullied and bullied and bullied and bullied. Nobody does anything about it. Nobody makes their bullies answer to it. And one day he just goes to school and says, I'll just kill everybody. And he goes and shoots up the school and kill a bunch of youngins and kill a bunch of teachers. That's the country you and I live in. It's fierce. That's where we're at. So what about us, church? Let's just make this personal. Let's make it inward perspective. Well, I can tell you what, according to this Bible, it's just going to get worse. Inside and outside the church. Do you know that right now you can, because I've looked at them. Do you know that right now you can go on the internet and look up all kinds of church fights recorded on cell phones and other things? How many of you have ever been on YouTube and looked at, raise your hand, Haley. That's all right, I've done it too. I've looked at a bunch of them. There's all kind of church fights that's recorded. Raise your hand, Sonny, I know you've looked at him. Everybody confess. I confess to you, I've done it. Do you know what it is? It's, listen, I'm not kidding you. Go look it, no, don't go look it up, but it's deacons and trustees and preachers and folks duking it out, man. Getting mad. In the church, the local church, they got all kind of recordings of them doing it. Cussing folks out, hollering at folks, pulling. I got this one video where this dude, he pulls a pistol on somebody because they have some kind of dispute over singing. Yeah, he did. My wife is laughing because she's seen it too. It is sort of funny when you watch it, but then when you look at it and say, that ain't funny at all. They are pulling pistols on each other, shooting at each other, fighting one another, cussing one another in God's house. Why is that? Anger and wrath, and they're fierce. They're fierce. Christians that are out of control. They can't control their temper. And over a period of time, they become like everyone else, a pressure cooker. Listen, a pressure cooker that can go off at any time. There's all kind of verses in the Bible, just very quickly. I'm getting ready to close this here in a moment tonight. But you'd be surprised at what the Bible says about anger and wrath. And how many times there'll be a verse in the Bible that has the word anger and wrath both contained in it. Proverbs 22:24, make no friendship with an angry man, or with a fierce man thou shalt not go. The Bible says don't even befriend an angry man. You'll learn his ways. You'll get just as mad as him. Psalm 37:8, cease from anger, the Bible says, and forsake wrath. Don't be angry. Don't let it lead to wrath. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stirreth up anger. Boy, I've learned that over the years, Brother Billy. When you feel mad and you feel your blood pressure coming up in your head, just keep your mouth shut and say something softly and say something nicely, and many, many times you can de-escalate something that's fixing to get way out of control. If you'll just answer with a soft tongue. But a lot of times, if you answer sharply, it's just going to make them more mad. Here's another verse. Ecclesiastes 7:9, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. James 1:19-20, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be, listen, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You ought not to be a wrathful person. All right, Ephesians 4:26 and also verse number 31. Be ye angry. You can be angry. There's things to be angry about. And sin not. Don't sin with your anger. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. See there, anger and wrath. Anger and wrath, they go together. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. See, that's what happens. You get anger and wrath, and it's not dealt with, and you get malice and hatred, and you become a fearful person. Do you know why you may have some Christians that are fierce people? Because they walk around with anger and wrath boiling up inside of them, and they never deal with it. They just never deal with it. So let me ask you a question tonight as we get ready to close this message. I want to ask you a question. I want to just get real serious now, real serious. Do people walk on eggshells around you? Everybody listen to me and look up here at me if you would, please. Do people walk on eggshells around you because they never know when you're going to go off about something? Are you easily set off? Are you constantly angry? Ask yourself that tonight. Through words or actions, are you hurting others? Are you constantly hurting others through words or actions that you supposedly love very much? Are you always on the edge? We as Christians, we work around fierce people. We live by fierce people. And sometimes we go to church with fierce people. Some people are just not happy unless they're fighting. They're really not. Some people are just not happy unless they've got some kind of fight going on. We got to be aware that we live in a very angry society. Are people that love you or try to befriend you or work with you, let me ask you this, are people afraid to disagree with you? Nobody should be afraid to disagree with you about anything. And if they are, if some of these characteristics I'm talking about tonight, listen to me, I'm trying to help you. Something is wrong with you. And you need to cry out to God to help you and to rid you of all that anger and all that wrath and all that ferocious, fierce mess that's bound up in your heart before you, ma'am, do something that's very stupid and very regrettable. Very serious message tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed.